All right, you guys ready to go? I'm going to explain something to you in a little bit. But first, maybe some of you have been in this situation. There was a couple, probably mid-50s, love the Lord. At this point, they're empty nesters, faithful to church all their lives. And one morning, they both wake up. It's a Sunday morning, and they're both a little bit groggier, but finally the wife gets up. Goes into the bathroom, starts getting ready, comes out, looks into the bed, and her husband's still laying there. She said, "Babe, get up, you know, it's time for church." He just kind of, So she goes in, makes some coffee, comes back, looks, and he hasn't moved. "Honey, it's time for church, you gotta get up." He said, "No, I'm just not feeling this morning." She said, "You have those mornings, it happens. But once you get up, you know, we'll get some coffee in you. You know, we'll go to church, be around the people, it'll be great." She goes in the bathroom. She finishes getting ready. She comes out all ready to go. Looks in the bed, and he's still laying there. Finally, now she's a little agitated. "Babe, get up." He pulls the covers off his head, looks at her, and says firmly, "Why is it that I have to go to church this morning?" She said, "Because you're the pastor." My question to you is, why do you come to church? Why do you come to church? I just want that to sink in for a minute. When we started this series, what I'm going to speak to you today was the reason why we started this series. It was really, and I've mentioned it to you a couple times, it was about marketing your church. And so when we think about church growth, we're getting ready to take some steps. We're gonna have, I talked to I think all of you a week or two ago, it's called Refresh. It's going to be a situation where Central Region is going to come in and sit down with some leadership and some people I've handpicked to try and find different ways as a church that we can find more health and more growth. I think we're a healthy church. How did I put it, Linda? That really sounded good what I said this morning. You remember? Me and Linda had this conversation. I said something really neat. We're a healthy church. A healthy church, but we're in need of health. We need to grow in families. We need to, and we're older dynamic, which is great. That I'm telling you, we are blessed with our people. But we need to find even more health. We need to dig down deeper, and a lot of that just comes from asking questions, understanding the world, understanding where we're at. Now, we know what people need, but what would attract people to understand what they need? And so we want to take steps towards that. So my big question is this: why do you come to church? Anybody? Fellowship. Encouragement. Your week just doesn't go right. Okay. Donuts and coffee, anybody? Donuts and coffee? Spiritual growth? Yeah. This side's like banging. I need something over here. Okay. You need it. You know, I think of, because I get asked this a lot, "Matt, what's your vision?" I'm a weird person. I don't give people this sexy answer they love. "Oh, this is a vision for the church." My passion, I actually give out weekly. My passion is that each and every one of us are in this word. And so if I say that a lot, it's because that's my passion. It's through the word of God that you will build that relationship with God and your eyes will be open to where he has you, because our work is done outside of this building. This is extremely important. But it's funny when you think of the reasons as to why some people come to church. I remember when Dad and Don Allen had the Sunday school class when we were little kids. It was the old building. I was in fourth or fifth grade. This one kid he came with a friend, and Dad and Don always bought donuts. But he couldn't give a rip about church. I don't even know if he understood God, but man, did he love donuts. And he said one time to Dad, he's like, "You know, I don't really care much about the teaching, but I just love donuts." And Dad's like, well, you just keep on coming, bud. We'll keep on bringing donuts. So sometimes you don't even necessarily know that you go for the right reasons. When I was youth pastoring, we went through a dynamic change. We had had a lot of, there was times where this section here was actually youth age, and there was probably 20, 25 kids, because there was a lot of families that came to church, so the youth group was made up of a lot of the families. And so we reached a point where we graduated. One year, we graduated 14 students in one year. And so there was a year after that where a lot of people went off to college, and so our youth ministry was probably cut in more than a half. And so the pastor at the time, Pastor Steve, we came down here and he said, Matt, just think out of the box. And so I came down here. Some of you, if you remember the picture, we had a cafe going on. So when people would come from church, they could eat. The kids could eat. And we had a coffee machine we bought. We took fencing, thank you. We caged the children and we made them listen to Jesus. No. That's not it. You stay in there and shut up, you know. And we just took the fencing, and when we go out here and out here, we took the chairs, unlocked every one of them, and just moved them into it like a messy. We had two ping pong tables, two pool tables, a tarp, five tables. I mean, it was going on. You know why we grew? We had one kid, he had a buddy that lived on the east side. He said, Matt, is there any way we could drive over there? Or, excuse me, he can get here on the bus, but we could get him home. I said, yeah, I'll take him home, you bet. That started an onslaught of east side people coming to this side. All these kids started coming. Then we had south side, and I called them street kids. We grew. Pastor Steve walked in here one time, and he just started counting. He said, Matt, there's 65 kids in here. How'd you do that? And I said, I have no idea. You know why they came? Because they wanted to hear the word of God. You guys believe that? That's not why they came. They came because they wanted to be with each other. You know all that stuff I named? Pool tables, and we had like a Xbox thing onto the wall, and ping pong and all that. They didn't touch that stuff. They would hang out outside like in a circle in a group. You know, or if they wanted to have a smoke, after a while, I'd say, hey, off the ground space. So they'd go stand in the street. That was safer. And have a smoke on the street. They came because they desired to be with each other. They desired friendship. And they would pay the, you know, get on the MTA, and it'd take me till 10:30 sometimes to get them all home at night. But they just didn't care. They wanted to be with each other. And so there are so many different reasons why people congregate. Not sure if anyone in here has ever frequented a bar a lot, but bars are a big thing. There are several of them out there. Why? People congregate to get to be together. What's special about a church is there's health involved. And so this is so important, what we do. And if we can see the importance of why it's important to us, really what I want to talk about today is how do we communicate that to our world, of how important our church is to us and why. So when I ask you, why do you come to church? What I'm saying is, what draws you? What's important to you? What brings you on a Sunday morning when there's all these other things that can be done? And right now, the world is offering everything. This morning, we're driving to church this morning, and I saw something I've never seen before. I know sports and all that, Sundays are open game. But a driver's ed car goes past me. This poor kid, white-knuckled, you know, it was that part where they have to, on 9th, it's closed, there's only half a bridge. Man, he was scared to death. He's like this and real slow, and I looked at my wife, I'm like, driver's ed on a Sunday? Is nothing sacred? Well, in a way, in the world's eyes, it really isn't. Sunday's another Saturday now. And we have to deal with that. But there are people within our influence that need what we give here, what God hands out. And if we understand that, we will become marketers of our church. Now, we're pushing God. I'll talk to Jesus to anybody, and everyone I talk to, I don't end up, and our address is 1116 Army Post Road. We expect to see you at 10 o'clock. It's about Jesus. But if they need a place, then yeah, why not here? If they're on some different side of town, I'll just say, get yourself in a church, a Bible-believing church. where you can have a partnership in this life of what you're doing, where you realize that you're not alone. So how are we doing at marketing our church based on what it means to us? And so I just started flipping through the Bible. Let's talk about gathering together in churches. There's a lot of scriptures. It's pretty cool. Listen to this. It says, There we go. My blindness has kicked in again. These new glasses, I tell you. I go like this, bifocals, and I go like that. I can't find the right way to read all the way back there. So you guys read that. I'm going to read this. Let us hold tightly. How do you hold? What happens when you hold something tight? You don't want it to go. Man, have you ever been on a roller coaster and you got your little one and you see that little barb, you're thinking they could slip right through that thing. Man, you're like this. You got everything on them because you don't want them to go anywhere. You're hanging on tight. Hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage, someone said that over here, encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Now, this was a long time ago, and you're thinking, it didn't draw near. Every day, we're closer to seeing Jesus. Every day, there's someone out there that needs to hear about Jesus. Sometimes we think there's all this time. We have this knowledge and this passion in our hearts, and people need that. So that getting together, don't neglect it. But if you back up a little bit, let's think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That's a great thing. When we get together, this is like a club. This club isn't doing anything that's going to steer you in the wrong direction. That's the beautiful part about this. Some clubs, they want you to get so busy that you're going to blow all your money, you're going to blow all your time, you're going to lose relationships back at home. I mean, some hobbies are dangerous for you. This hobby, this club, this gathering actually draws people closer if you follow the Word of God. It loves family. It loves family time. It loves time with the Lord. It'll talk to you about being a good hard worker, about being selfless, about forgiving, about having grace, about finding hope, about knowing joy. This is an awesome, awesome club that I think, If I went out to the world and said, I want you to join a club that's going to give you all those things I just named, I think a lot of people would sign up for it. But when they hear church, restrictions, tell me how I have to live, guilt because I'm not living the way I should live, well, they name all these other things. This is an awesome club. Listen to this next scripture. Let the message about Christ in all his richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. What are we doing now and what have we done today? Man, we're teaching, we're giving some counsel, and we have sung songs. We are following the Word of God because we're taking the Word of God and we're acting it out on these Sundays. See, Sundays weren't meant to feed you for the week. Sundays are meant to remind you of what you're doing. Discipleship is just a reminder, hey, we're disciples of Jesus Christ. And like Sandy said, sometime, man, I need this. You know, I'm going to have my food Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Saturday, because I'm going to be in the Word. But Sunday, that's when we're together. This is so cool. And even Wednesdays, and it's just so powerful what God can do when two or three are gathered together. Let's keep going. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you already are doing. That's what we're here for. Some people, they get stuck on this, Matt, do you have to go to church to be saved? If I'm going to be encouraged by Tiffany, and Tiffany's not here, where's my encouragement? See, sometimes we have to look at it the other way. I draw a lot from you, but I also can give a lot. And if I'm God, now, I don't want to go crazy on you. I'm not being legalistic. You got to be in church 4 days or 4 weeks a year. You're going to hell. That's not it. But we can get, the world is giving us more and more and more to get out of the habit. More convenient. Oh, I can get more work done. Or I can do this with my kids. Man, Saturday just got away from me, but there's Sunday. This priority affects your life. This club helps your marriage. It helps you. It helps keep us grounded to the very person who created us and knows us best. This is important. This, when you market this, you're inviting people into something that is completely healthy for them. Is going to make a difference in their lives. So what do you love about church? And are you talking about that? This is interesting. Old Testament, Moses had really just been told by God that, hey, you're not going into the promised land. Instead of being all ticked off, he's got an amazing heart. The Bible says that Moses was the most humble man. Talk about that humility. When you were leading about 2.5 million people, it'd be easy to be the man. Hey, you do this, you do that, you shut up, I'm the man. He was full humility. So instead of throwing a fit, saying, God, I want to go to Canaan. I've had to do all this stuff, and you're not going to let me go to the promised land. He prepares the people for what's going to go on. He's preparing Joshua to take over. Listen to this. Call them all together. Men, women, children, foreigners living in your towns, so they may hear the book of instruction and learn to fear the Lord. Now picture this as a church body. This is what's going on here. Let's see. Learn to fear the Lord of your God. Carefully obey all the terms of these instructions. Do this so that your children who have known these instructions or not known these instructions will hear them and will learn to fear the Lord your God. Do this as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. They were crossing the Jordan to occupy the land of Canaan, which they would live out the remainder of their lives. God say, man, do this every day. Read this book of instruction. Teach this to your children. Keep it on their mind. Keep it on their hearts. So that was like a little church community there. Keep this Bible. This is important. Keep it in front of you. Don't lose. Don't drop out of this club. And so think of different ways that you could share and who you could share and when you could share experiences about church and what that looks like. Maybe it's a Monday because you've just had church on a Sunday. Maybe something comes up where you've heard something said by a pastor and maybe it's not spiritual, but hey, you know, you said that. My pastor said something about that. Next thing you know, you're in a conversation. Going to church is a conversation starter. When I was a kid, that started more conversations. What did you do Sunday? Well, I went to church, and then what church you go to? Now, I have an in. I'm a pastor. That conversation comes up a lot. I've told you this before. I'll tell you again. I don't usually announce if I go to side jobs that I'm a pastor because people see me as a judge, so I like to get a relationship started first. Because once you're the judge, you're not as approachable. And so I kind of know what being segregated feels like when it comes to that. But once they know you're a pastor and they're still okay with you, that starts a conversation because a lot of people are dealing with a lot of stuff and they need help. I just had a conversation a couple weeks ago about someone that's dealing with something. And we were in a bunch of different guys, you know, we're taking a break. And next thing you know, it was just the two of us. And around a bunch of different guys, it was different talk. But when everyone else left, and it was just me and him, he started asking me some questions about life that he's really struggling with his marriage and his kids. Jesus shines through you. People need Jesus. This is a place where that lifestyle, we're all working on it. This is a place where we can grow in that together. So it's fun. I love ministering. I love telling people about Jesus. But man, seeing someone come and get involved in a church, you know, hey, they're locking in now. Now they're getting tied in with other groups of people that can help them on this walk. And this awesome, life-giving club that stands for Jesus Christ. But then there's another way. There's probably several ways. I want to show you something. Guys, take me to Facebook. Maybe some of you don't know this. And when I say Facebook, it affects a lot of people. And that's why we Facebook Live when we speak. And we do other things. So I just want to show you. This right now will be recorded. And so you can actually, you see that? That's me. You can actually share this service if you go on Facebook. There's a little share. When you share, this goes to everybody that you know. Now, the thing is, they might look down and think, hour and 10-minute service, what in the world, you know? And not everyone's going to view that, but still, you can take your influence and spread it by going like this. How easy was that? I mean, I want you to be able to sit down and talk about Jesus. I want you to have the hard conversations with people. I want you to stand for Christ. I want you to invite people. But we can share our services by pressing a button. Now, go on to the Wednesday encouragement videos, if you would, Kev. This is even more interesting. On our, so if you just, you know, go on Facebook and see all those videos, you'll see Chad, Skyler, myself, you'll see there's Christy, Matt Catron. We do videos usually every week. Sometimes we take a week pause. And they were started during COVID because I wanted you guys to understand, hey, I still love you, we're here, you know. But what happened from this, I pressed share after I would make a video, and all my friends saw that. I friended most everyone at work. I started having people come up to me at work talking about my video. These guys aren't, some of them, but not all, are attending church. Most of them will say they have a faith in God, but there's no action to it. There's no in the Word. So they're kind of babies in the faith. And this started conversation after conversation after conversation. Some of them would be as short as, hey, who was that guy? I've never seen him before when we had Matt Catron start. Oh, that's Matt. Yeah, I really liked what he had to say. Hey, your son, he's going to be a preacher, dude, man. I listened to his video. Some of them are just, they're not like, let's talk about the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice. Some of it just lets me know that they watched it, but they are being influenced by Bible teaching. And if everyone in here went, share, think how many views, how many people are hearing about the love of Christ. What I want to do is we're going to play one. This was something, and you'll notice, I don't do a production agency. I kind of do this on the fly. God puts a scripture in my head, but mine always have to do with some sort of a visual. That's just how I think. But listen to this and then picture your friends watching this and what conversations this could start. Something I want to show you I just learned Saturday. It was kind of interesting. What I have here is two cups. One is empty, and one is filled. I have this little water on this. Thank you. 6 minutes of somebody's life and who might be going through something or thinking, and just give that some thought. Or again, Facebook, that's just one way. But think out of the box, and how do you share the love of your church? How do you share the love of God? How do you share this pretty awesome club? And that is as simple as a share button. And in what conversations might that share? Hey, I noticed that you shared this video. Now, who was that and what was this all about? That's actually someone from my church. And they do this every Wednesday, just sharing the love of Jesus Christ. It just starts that conversation. Picture those conversations through the influence of everyone here, how far that can go for Christ. It doesn't take much. But then that gives us the opportunity. Anyone nervous about those opportunities? Anyone shy away from those opportunities? I have. Satan can intimidate us. Don't shy away. Don't be worried about what you know. You know enough where you made a decision. That's enough. What's Jesus done for you? Share it. Talk to him about a church that loves the Lord. That's going to disciple them. That's going to direct them in the right way. And if we get them in here, we get them to somewhere where they can actually have a club, a group of people who love Jesus. I want to read this last portion of scripture. You click that whenever you guys are good. I'm just going to start reading it. This is kind of what life can look like. Now, I'm not saying that we start a commune, but the day of Pentecost, that's when the disciples were kind of on their own. Jesus, he went to heaven. The power of the Holy Spirit came in. He filled the disciples. Peter starts to preach. Because of his preaching, on that day, 3,000 people believe the good news of Jesus Christ. A lot of them did the math of watching the life of Jesus. A lot of them understood the disciples and where they've come and thought, man, this thing must be real. And so this is what happened right after that day of Pentecost. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now grab a hold of this. Devoted themselves to the teaching. They devoted themselves. That was the start to this word of God. And to fellowship. And that's gathering together. Those are two things. The word of God and fellowship had their devotion. And to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. They ate together, they prayed together. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. So it was like one of our potlucks. Meet together in one place and share everything we had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple. Each day met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. That's a cool club there. That's a church. That's people like-minded, living in the good news. Different people, different ideas, different hobbies, different mindsets, probably even different political beliefs, but man, they had the love of Jesus in their heart, and they were doing it together. So all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship of those who were being saved. See, when you're sharing that, we are going to add. And if it adds to this church, praise God, I want that. But we're going to add to the kingdom. I have the opportunity at times to share with people who might not walk in to church doors, but I want them to know Jesus and to make that decision. They will add to the kingdom. So what do you love about your church? Let's start marketing what you love. Let's start pressing share on some of these videos. Let's get the word of God out there. Let's speak even when we think, I don't know quite what to say. Put your faith in God and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. And actions speak louder than words. We talk about Facebook and internet. Guess what else you can do? You could jump on Facebook and just absolutely rip someone head to toe for not believing like you believe. Now, what's that done? There's a wrong way to act. Trust me, agreeing with someone or disagreeing with them, there's different ways that we can handle that and love. So whenever I do something, I simply, it's a simple thing. You know the bracelets, what would Jesus do? I really put myself through, what would he do? And then sometimes I just find the scripture because he did a lot of stuff. What did he do? that's what he did. Man, I need to pattern my life after that. All right. Put this in your heads. God has used his church to mold and shape us. Sharing these experiences with others could open up avenues in their lives to meet Jesus. So let's share it. Let's share your church. Let's share your faith. Let's share your experiences. Let's share what we do on a Sunday morning and why we do it. What do you think? Anybody worried about if someone you know comes to this church thinking, you act differently here than you do at work? Anybody? That's a human thing. Think of it. Would that be a reason not to want someone to come to church? Because of how it would make you look or you feel? That's a real thing. I'm throwing some conviction out here. That just means, hey, let's make some changes. Is my life mirroring what the Word of God says? Let's make some changes. And when they come in and they see it, yeah, I'm a work in progress too. Hey, let's do this together. Share your faith through your church. One last time. God has used his church to mold and shape us. Sharing these experiences with others could open up avenues in their lives to meet Jesus. So God, we want people to meet Jesus. We want people to know the truth. There are dedicated people out here that I see weekly because they love you and they love something about this place. God, may we share that, our love and our experience with you, our experience through relationships, through coffee and donuts, through greeting, through hanging out, through work days, through bonfires, through 4th of July events. May we open this club up, not be inclusive, but we want everyone to be involved in this. So help us realize the opportunities that come. Help us to press that share button on sermons and on videos. Dear God, help us to start those conversations. And when they come, man, even when we feel like, I don't know if I can have this conversation, may we just rely in you and just share what you've done for us and realize, hey, I can't answer every question. Man, the ones I can, they sure make sense to me. God, use us to grow your kingdom through this beautiful church. We ask this in your name. Each and everyone says, amen. God bless you guys. Hope to see you next week.